رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ أخذ ربك من بني آدم من ظهورهم ذريتهم وأشهدهم على أنفسهم ألست بربكم؟ قالوا بلى، شهدنا أن تقولوا يوم القيامة إن كنا عن هذا غافلين. صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, our journey of life began long before we came into this world. And this journey will continue long after we leave this world. So in terms of our timeline, our life does not begin at birth, and neither does it end at death. Life is a journey that has begun long before our physical existence or appearance in this world. And this life will continue into perpetuity long after we leave this world physically. As human beings, our soul goes through 6 or 7 stages of development. The very first stage of the journey of the soul was where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assembled the entire human race. In the verse that I recited before you, Allah says, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ. Remember, when Allah took a pledge, a covenant from human beings, مِنْ ذُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ, He extracted from the loins, from the back of human beings, their progeny. So there was an occasion long before we came into this world where Allah assembled the entire human race in the realm of souls, what is called Alame Arwah, in the world of souls. وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. And then, وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ, and Allah then made them take an oath, respond to a question. And He said, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ, Am I not your sustainer? Am I not your Rabb? Am I not your creator? Am I not your cherisher? قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. And the entire human race responded by affirming the oneness of Allah. The entire human race, every human being that was supposed to come into this earth from the first to the last, was present in the realm of the souls at that particular assembly. And they all responded affirming the existence and the oneness of Allah. So we came into existence in the form of our souls long before our physical existence into this dunya, into this world. So in the realm of the souls, in that world, Allah assembled the entire human race. It is beyond us to even perceive that spectacle. What kind of assembly was that? Where the first human being to the last human being to come onto this earth was assembled. We were given a level of consciousness to recognize the existence of Allah. That was the first stage in the journey of the soul. In Alame Arwah, in the realm of the souls, where Allah took this pledge, an oath from every human being. And every human being affirmed the existence of Allah. The significance of that meeting and that pledge that we took in the realm of souls is as follows. Number one, when Allah asked that question, it was meant to induct the soul to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That by nature, every human being will believe in Allah. That's the natural state. Why did this gathering take place in the realm of souls? The verse says, "Antaqulu yawm al-qiyamah," lest you say on the day of judgment, "Inna kunna an hadha ghafilin," that we were unaware of your presence, O Allah. We were unaware of your rububiyyah, O Allah. We were unaware that we had to develop this bond and relationship with you once we came into this world. So, one of the reasons for this oath and this assembly is أن تقولوا يوم القيامة, that you say on the day of, lest you say on the day of Qiyamah, we were unaware. And therefore, based on this pledge and oath, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah says that even if a person has no contact with any other human being, he's marooned on an island, grew up on an island, or in the Amazon jungle, no message of the deen came to him, he is still expected to believe in the unity and the oneness of Allah by virtue of the oath that he had taken in the realm of souls. His natural state as a human being is to believe in the oneness of Allah. Secondly, this oath means, or is explained further by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he says, "Kullu mawludin yuladu al-fitra." And as a result of the oath that we had taken long before we came into this world, every child is born in the state of fitrah. That means with the natural ability and inclination to accept the oneness of Allah. Whether the child is born in a Muslim home or a non-Muslim home, he is born with a natural disposition, a natural inclination to believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, a significant aspect of that meeting in Alame Arwah is that we don't know, we are not conscious, but our souls have a relationship with one another. Our souls have a relationship with one another. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "Al-arwah junudun mujannada," that the arwah, the ruh, the souls, were like
a conscripted army, an army that was assembled together. The entire human race was assembled together. And he says, at that meeting, some souls naturally inclined to others, and others naturally turned away from some souls. And the net result of that inclination or disinclination in Alam Arwa is reflected in this world where we naturally feel comfortable in the presence of some people, and for no reason we may dislike a person. We may not even know that person, but we just don't feel comfortable in the presence of that human being. Why does that happen? And more so when you don't know a human being, you don't know the other person, but when you meet him, you naturally take a liking to him. Or when you meet him, you naturally take a disliking to him. You don't feel comfortable in that individual's presence. Where does this come from? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam explains this natural inclination or disinclination, saying that when the arwah, when we all met in the realm of souls, some of us were naturally attracted to each other and others were naturally distracted from each other. And that is reflected in our relationship in this world with people. And this is, I'm talking of the very first, I told you there are six or seven levels or phases in the journey of the soul. This is the first level, first stage in the journey of the ruh. That was in Alame Arwah. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I can still remember affirming the oath when we were assembled in the realm of souls. A very famous saint, Dhunnun Misri, he used to say that I can hear the me affirming the oath on that day as clearly as I hear myself speaking today. So some people even have a memory that of that pledge and that meeting of the arwah. And that is why, one of the reasons, is that the first thing we do when a child is born is we give the adhan. The adhan is a reminder of the pre-worldly pledge that we all took long before our existence, long before we came into this world. So that was the first journey or the first phase of our existence. Long before we came into this world, we existed in a different form in the realm or in the world of souls. The second stage is, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ, that we created man from an extract of clay. And then we made him a drop of fluid, of semen, that was lodged in a secure abode. Then we created the drop of fluid as a clinging mass, referring to the embryonic development of a human being in the womb of the mother. Then we created the fleshy tissues as bones. Then we covered those bones with flesh. And behold, we produced another creation. So the second stage in the development of, or in the journey of life, was our existence within the womb of our mothers. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that after 4 months of pregnancy, two angels come to that woman who's bearing the child, and at that point, they record four things for the child to be born, and after which the ruh, that spirit that existed elsewhere, is now blown into the child. And the four things that are recorded for a child when the woman is 4 months pregnant is the deeds of this child. What would be the kind, what would be the deeds of this human being? What would be the ajal, the age span, the physical life of this human being? Thirdly, what would be the amount of rizq and sustenance that would be apportioned to this human being? And fourthly, shaqiyun am sa'idun, whether this person that is going to come into this world is going to be shaqi, a wretched individual who would not believe and obey Allah, am sa'idun, or whether he would be fortunate enough to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at this stage, in the second journey of the soul, these four things are recorded before, after which that the ruh that was existing in the realm of souls is now blown into the expecting mother. And the third stage in this journey is when we come into this world physically. And Allah says, Allahu alladhi khalaqakum min du'fin. Allah created you in the state of extreme weakness. Thumma ja'ala min ba'di du'fin quwwa. And then after that stage of extreme weakness, he blessed you with strength. And then after that, thumma ja'ala min ba'di quwwatin du'fa wa shayba. And after that, you again begin to become weak and grow gray. In other words, Allah is speaking about the journey. Once we come into this world, we come in as a baby. We grow to become a child, to a teenager, to adulthood, to middle age, to old age. And Allah speaks elsewhere in the Quran of Ashudda, that in this process of development, we grow physically, mentally, and emotionally up to the age of 33. That's the period of growth. From 33 to 40, that's where our physical, intellectual, and self remains constant. And after 40, the decline sets in. We start becoming weaker and weaker as we enter old age. So this is the third journey, third part of this journey. The first was Alime Arwa, the realm of souls. Then we came into the womb of our mothers. Then we came onto this Mother Earth. And the fourth journey, part of our journey, is when the soul leaves the body and death takes place. So in the fourth journey, that is called barzakh, a barrier between the life of this world and the year after, an intermediate stage. And in Barzakh, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, that's when we are in the grave, that our abode in the life to come is shown to us every day. Either hell or heaven. And this, whilst we are in the stage of Barzakh, our graves are transformed into a garden of bliss or into a pit of the hellfire. So in Barzakh again, and this is where again the soul resides in a different realm. From there, we don't have time, but from there we go on to the next stage in this journey, and that is resurrection, where we would come out of our graves, the soul will then be embedded in our bodies. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, we will come out naked, bare feet, and walk to the court of Allah. Again, the soul is then lodged in the physical body. And from that point, the sixth or the stage is either a perpetual life in Jannah or, Allah forbid, in Jahannam. So this is the journey of the soul. When I said in the beginning that we came into existence long before we came into this world, and we will remain in existence long after we leave this world, this is the journey, timeline of the soul. Nothing is constant. Everything is in a state of flux. We're moving from one phase to another. So life is a journey from Allah, that was in the Alame Arwah, to Allah. It's a journey from Allah to Allah. And during this journey, Allah has given us this little span, which seems like half a day, looking at the concept of time. Our earthly life is no more than half a day, where Allah tests us with prosperity, adversity, He's given us free will, He's given us intellect to determine our eventual abode. So life is in a state of continuous flux. One person came to a pious person and said, just give me one piece of advice, but it must be such advice that in terms of times of prosperity and success, I don't become arrogant. And in times of hardship and difficulty, I don't become despondent. I just need, give me one formula, something that I can stick onto. So the scholar told him that just remember one sentence, that this will also pass. This will also pass. In other words, your tears, a time will come where they will pass. Laughter, a time will come where that will also pass. Nothing is permanent. Nothing will remain forever. You need the strength, the spiritual and intellectual strength to believe that whatever your circumstances are, they will pass. And another set of circumstances will continue till we meet our Rabb. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.